Howdy, folks. Welcome to the Human Nervous System Podcast. This is Roberta Grant. The date is September 30th, 2021, in White Salmon. And I'm here with Jenny Jolly. And this is the first interview doing this for her. And she is a wonderful person, musician, and healer. Originally from Spokane and has been a self-made musician since middle school. And she is now a massage therapist as well and has many other gifts. She's been a massage therapist for a couple of years, I think. 12 years. And she was in the Portland music scene for a while and healer scene. And now she lives in Hood River where she is creating her own music scene there and more. So I'm going to interview her today and she's going to share some things. So, who is Jenny Jolly and how did you get into these endeavors that you're into today?
Thanks for having me. Who is Jenny Jolly? She's been many things. The Jolly name came in high school, which was really, I don't even know. My name is just Jenny Lee and I got really bored because there's all kinds of Jenny Lees and I remember looking up Googling Jenny Lee and it was like a porn star and a chocolate company and a country singer and I was like, oh God, it's just it's just kind of a I wanted to find my name. And so it's interesting just to even think of the name that I chose as my last name is Jolly. It's still evolving and it might actually be coming to retirement soon. Which is a fun feeling. But in this now moment, Jenny Jolly is someone who spent her life overcoming lots of struggle, lots of adversity, and also embodying joy and play and music and creativity and emotional, just all the different emotional terrains of humanity. And so she is someone who deeply values the depth as much as she values the light. And finds that having a capacity, it's so fun to talk about myself in a third person right now, but to have that capacity for the light and the darkness in a really, really deep, authentic, and satisfying way, that's a wide prayer and a wide container that I have been able to cultivate and even expand over the years. But I think Jenny Jolly is going to turn into Jenny Joy soon. That'll be the new name. Hot off the press. You're the first to hear it.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get into doing music?
My dad was a musician my whole life. Still is a musician. And he never really taught me much, but he was in a band 5 nights a week and he'd be practicing at home all the time. And so it was just around everywhere. And it was a way for me to feel. I just needed to feel. I've always been a very, very, very emotional being ever since a young age. Even as an infant, I came out, I had colic for months and just cried a lot as a baby. I've always just been a deeply, deeply emotional thing. And I remember in middle school, my dad still has a couple of these paper plates and I would write songs on them. I'd write words on them. And then I'd have this funny little language that I created where underneath the words, there'd be a line or dots or swoop up or swoop down to remind me of how to sing the song. So I kind of created my own little language. But I remember just sitting at the dining room table and singing until I would cry. I would just sing until something would click and it'd be oh. And it was just a portal for me to access emotion. And that's really how it started. And then I was in choir for a little while. Did the talent show in high school. Used to be I threw up before the talent show in high school because I was so stage frightened. And so that was a whole journey with my music career or my music expression was to overcome being afraid of the stage, being afraid of expression, which is really, and then now, years later stepping into vocal empowerment coaching full time is this full circle of so many people are afraid to share their voice and to share what they have to offer and to feel like, you know, I haven't overcame every single obstacle in my life, but there are some that I have. And so it's nice to like take those original wounds and be like, all right, well, maybe that took 15 years, but I figured something out and now I can support people in that process. Yeah.
That's a really cool story about when you were a little kid. And something I'm always interested in is like how children just naturally find ways in their own life and their own resilience to just access something in themselves to continue finding that life spark and even to continue to play and find joy even when there might be chaos around them. Do you mind me asking what sort of things, obstacles you had to overcome when you were little? Just, you know, you don't have to share everything, but just some things you feel comfortable sharing.
Welcome to the 7-hour long podcast, everybody. the main obstacles or challenges or traumas or events was really just not being parented. My mom and dad were divorced since I was like one. And then they both worked at a stepmom for a while. But then at like age 10 in fourth grade, my mom moved away. And then we were with my dad and my stepmom full time. And she was like 18 years younger than my dad. She wasn't ready to be a mom full time. And so then like 6 months later, she left my dad. So I lost like the two mother figures in my life in like a 6 month period at age 10. And that was like, and still is, you know, this huge story, this huge experience around being resilient, trying to figure it out. And then my dad was working full time. Learning how to trust the feminine has been a lifelong journey for me. But that's been really, really beautiful. It's allowed me to let go of what I think the feminine is and kind of come into a deeper relationship with the feminine actually is. And it's so beautiful and so nourishing and who I am. But then another extension of that was just after that, slowly, especially like middle school and high school, just it was a free-for-all. There wasn't anybody around. Like, my dad is amazing and my best friend, but, you know, he'd work all day long and then he'd work in a bar and playing music 4 or 5 nights a week. So I technically would, like, get grounded, right? But then he wouldn't come home till 3 in the morning. And I remember, like, I could throw a party at my house and clean it up before he got home while I was technically grounded. There was just no, there wasn't a lot of consequence, which, you know, as an adult, I'm really learning how to value consequence beyond, you know, good or bad and punishment. There's just an energetic consequence to my actions in the world. And I grew up without really learning some of those skills. And it's been a softening and forgiving of myself to be like, oh, I can forgive myself for pretending like the rules didn't apply to me or that I had to learn everything the hard way or that, you know, I really turned to men and drugs and alcohol and self-hatred practices to try to find my way. But the gift within all of that is, to have a deeper sense of self-resiliency and to also, in this now moment, be like tired. There's a wisdom that is also exhausted and to be able to be like, oh, okay, I've done that. I went fully down that path of doing and running and chasing and exploring and trial and error, which is really valuable, I think. And I've learned a lot. Like we were mentioning earlier, I went to massage school, but I didn't really go to a college. But I learned so much just through literally throwing my body around into different experiences and different contexts and different modes of being. Did I really get to now enjoy this like slowing down and valuing everything that I learned through a really rowdy and rough self-chosen upbringing. And yeah, I'm grateful for it and ready to not continue the rowdiness any longer than it has to be. lived. Yeah.
Yeah, way to go on learning to be self-compassionate, and as well as doing your shadow work too, and continuing with those things. Some of the more positive rowdiness I remember you mentioned was snowboarding. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're an avid snowboarder. Is that something that is still has meaning for you, or is that something that you're still kind of figuring out?
Yeah. I haven't. It was a huge part. It was like the biggest part of my life for almost a decade. And the last 2 years, my snowboard got stolen. I didn't buy a season pass. I've just let it kind of die in a sense. And it's been really awesome to let my ego not over-identify with that. And I've experienced a lot of physical trauma from snowboarding. And interestingly enough, I have a lot of chronic pain on the right side of my back, which I associate to snowboarding. Also, I went to this women's retreat this summer. It was 2 weeks. And a lot of my physical pain, chronic pain, on the right side of my back just disappeared. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, I wonder if it's in relationship with the masculine in some way. I'm going to preface this with, this is just still a thought that I've been following, but it's just, you know, I live a very contemplative life and I just find it so fascinating. And so I went into this deep meditation around the way that snowboarding has been a part of my life. And I'm like, okay, it's totally fucked up my body because I'm exercising and crashing in a rotated position. And I'd never cared to learn how to ride switch. And then contemplating like this masculine influence with maybe the pain that I'm feeling on the right side of my back. And then being like, oh, what was I doing when I was snowboarding? I was keeping up with the dudes. I was like literally chasing men down a mountain. And like, it was like celebrated. Like if I could keep up with the bros, that like made me even cooler. And it's just interesting to think about the emotional somatic experience of what snowboarding also was within the physical trauma that has led me to like want to put it down for a while. Or yeah, have to go and learn how to ride switch. But I don't want to suck at snowboarding again. which is like, you know, a thing that I may or may not jump back into and try to learn how to do it another way. But that was an interesting piece that came through of how many of these sports or activities are kind of the masculine way is like overvalued, and how many women are keeping up with the dudes and being celebrated for it. Even the other day I had dinner with a friend and talking about snowboarding, and he's like, yeah, but that's awesome that you could keep up with the guys. And I'm like, but really, like, is that awesome? You know, like, just really coming back into this, rethinking the story of how my body as a woman's body has been trying to keep up or compete with the things that a man's body can do. And just, yeah, there's no clear formulated thought here, but rather than just like a deep contemplation. And even like going into like the nervous system, like our nervous systems are wired differently to handle different capacities of experience. And, well, I guess this is interesting, like coming from a history or a childhood of not having mothers around, like at a very young age, I was highly attuned to the masculine. And so there is this like reclamation of the feminine, that's also very humble. All right, we're coming back after a short call interruption. Anyways, yeah, don't follow the masculine down the mountain. Yeah. That's actually like a really funny one-liner. And I get this picture of just like, I mean, nobody that ever learned how to snowboard didn't completely wreck their body multiple times. Even if you know what you're doing, it's a pretty traumatic sport for whiplash, like chronic whiplash injuries. And I've had a lot of car accidents as well. And so my body knows how to be in whiplash mode. Like, I've definitely thrown my neck out before from, like, trying to do pull-ups, which is very interesting. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I'm not great at pull-ups. But, yeah, that was just an interesting download from my contemplations with snowboarding and coming out of a long phase in my life of doing things that are really young, things that are really intense. And for what? You know, it's like I love being on the mountain, but at the end of the day, how much of me wanting to go up there and be good at snowboarding was to somehow consciously or unconsciously, like, keep up with the men so that I would feel more loved and accepted and belong in the community. And not worth it. Not worth it anymore. And so, yeah, diving into the healing, diving into voicing, diving into this, the beingness of humanity is also really satisfying and fun. Yeah.
I think this is a really important topic for where we live in the Columbia River Gorge. There's a lot of athletes here and in different ages and stages in their process of their sport. I personally do three sports, mountain biking, teleskiing, and kayaking, and I'm 45, and I've had various experiences with these sports and how hard I'm going to push it, and also being a mother, and just, I think that it's just something you learn if you want to continue in different phases and having a different approach to it if you want to continue. Otherwise, you just drop it and move on to something else. And but I agree with the masculine aspect of it. Many of us females who got into these sports are, I think, connected to the masculine. So this is, I thank you for bringing this vulnerability up, because I think it is, speaks to a universal truth to a lot of athletic females and their relationship to the masculine. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah. And including responding to what I just said, also, I wanted to ask, you did talk about your childhood and the obstacles, and just how you're turning. It's interesting. You seem to have the ability to turn your wounds into strengths and even into healing modalities, which is really creative. And just wanted to go into your aspirations and favorite type of work and vision for your work and where you would like to take it.
Yeah. I mean, currently the vocal empowerment coaching has been just igniting my soul in every single level. And I think for a long time I've done massage for 12 years and I've done music since middle school. And even nowadays, like, I have two separate Instagrams and I'm just feeling these parts of me have felt very separate, but like a whole within my own being and within my own psyche. But they've been like separate offerings, like one's in one hand, one's in the other hand. And as my body is just tired, my physical 3D form needs to take a break from massage so that I can heal and just receive. Oh my God, I want to be touched all day long. That in that process of stepping away from that, it's giving more space to the vocal empowerment and my music. But I remember being at a bar like years ago and some guy was like, okay, if you could just do healing or you could just do music, which one would you do? And I was like, this is a stupid question. And it's 1 o'clock in the morning and like, go away, guy. But, you know, just the fact that we live in a world where the common thing is like, well, you get to choose one or the other instead of, you know, create magic where I'm like, well, what is the third thing? What is the sacred union of these two parts of myself? And vocal empowerment literally was maybe the first thing that I've ever done that was like came down from spirit. You know, and was like, I was sitting on my computer one day and I was like, oh, it'd be fun to do a workshop about this. I don't even know what this is, but I'm sure I could do it. I love signing up for things that I'm completely unqualified to do. And I love the pressure. I love the play. I love just like freestyling and being like, oh, well, whatever happens is awesome. And that's a way that I have. And it came through and we did a workshop and it was amazing. Tons of people came and it was just like, oh. And then people started asking me in the community to do like singing lessons, and it became very obvious very early on that it's not about singing. It's about like soul expression and like define soul, define expression. What is the real energy of the throat chakra, but beyond just like languaging and expressing, and what are the traumas that live there? How many people at various points in their life have been silenced multiple times? And it's trauma work. It is shadow work. And it is kind of coming back to talking about public speaking is like the number one fear that so many people have, and being stage fright and like throwing up before going on stage because we're petrified of what people are going to think about us. And so to me, like, if I were to define empowerment, and this might change, but this has been staying alive in me, is like, I feel most empowered when I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks about me. And to really feel that in my body and to like sing and market myself and walk and dress myself in the morning. And this doesn't mean that I'm wearing pajamas all day long, which I am today. but doing it for me instead of for other people. And maybe some people are listening to this and they're like, well, I've always been doing things for me. It's like, great. But in my experience and the people that I've been in relationship with, there is a common thing and a common ego function that wants to just be liked and affirmed and confirmed by the external world and validated by the external world. And I think that that reclamation of personal power and empowerment and using the voice in this particular offering as the vehicle and as the doorway into those deeper forms of self-love and self-acceptance, it's life-changing. And especially in the world that we're living in now, in 2021, at the end of it, people are being canceled and people are being shamed for their choices. And it's just like every way you turn, it's dangerous. And authenticity is being stifled at the cost of being accepted into the community and the collective, because our society is fairly disjunct anyways. And yet people are like, well, where do I fit in? And so this work of reclaiming, you fit into your own soul, you fit into your own body, you fit into your own sound, is just igniting my soul. And these sessions with people and these workshops with people are so fun. And it's people, you know, they're like, oh, it's not just about singing. And it's like, I want to just play really dramatic music and be like, no. It's, yeah, it's reclaiming your own sense of belonging and of all the energy centers in the body. The throat and the throat chakra is the only energy center that's relational. Everything else is fairly personal. And the throat is about being in exchange and being in relationship with the outside world. And so because of that, it also has deep consequence. And because of that, it's it can get blocked. It can get stuck. Because I can be like tuning into all my other energy centers and nobody can really know. But my throat chakra, most often, the function is to express and the function is to have choice. And Carolyn Meese talks about the throat being the unification of personal will to divine will. That actually lives in the throat. And my right butt cheek. No big deal. You might or might not get that reference. and that's the true depth and breadth of what this work is. It is so much more than people that want to love their own voice and learn how to sing. But because it is this unifying of personal will with divine will and like defining what choice is and speaking your choice and speaking your truth. A lot of times when people sing, they're like conjuring up a sound or creating a sound, or there's this like, I am singing versus I am just a container for sound. And there's it's part of the, whenever this comes through in the work, depending on where the person's at, singing from a place of sound is moving through you as a conduit versus singing from the place that you're creating it as a container is really life-changing for some people. Because when you can let sound move through you, it feels differently, because then you become an instrument. You become like the flute, where spirit is literally creating sound through you versus, I don't know if I'd have anything else, versus just like, yeah, you have to be self-generating all the time. And then maybe in that contemplation, singing and healing the voice becomes now a spiritual experience, because maybe then everything that you speak and share is moving through you, not just from you. And then from that contemplation, maybe the ego can take a break from needing to be so over-identified with everything that's coming through you, because now your personal will is in harmony with the divine will. That just came out of my mouth.
Whoa. Jenny has tons of wisdom. Wow, Jenny. That was beautiful what you just shared.
Before, but this is why interviews are fun.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. And it's amazing how your relationship to music and sound has become that for you, and how you're doing that work with people. That is that's such good work for people. And I mean, I don't have words for what you just said. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Mic drop moment.
Yeah.
It is beautiful, and even just being in this context, like the real life application of whatever this work wants to be called or what wants to look like. And for me, like, I love to freestyle a lot. I love to freestyle rap. I also love not knowing what I'm going to say when I go into an interview, or just like last night I was talking to my beloved and just shit comes into the field when I can just soften and let my voice, like, I was like, oh, we need to hold ceremony space for our relationship once a moon, the way that we would sit in any other plant ceremony or something. Like, why don't we do this? And that would have never came through the field if we didn't just open up a space to dialogue and just be. And it just, I feel like it's like the Tao, or it's this flow state of moving aside the expectations or the logic or the function that wants to know where the conversation is going and why, and engage the feminine. It's like, we are flowing and listening and playing. And oh, look, here's a piece that came in from whatever you believe the source consciousness gnosis field is. And then now we get to be with that. And I feel like conversation is just making space sometimes, you know, for each person to feel and express what's authentic for them. And sometimes that takes a while and you have to be gentle, or just to riff around and receive cosmic downloads. I mean, that doesn't always happen, but, you know, and then define cosmic downloads. It's also personal intuition. It could also be, oh, I've been talking for 20 minutes and now the way that my voice feels is changing because of .. I don't know. It's an endless playground.
Yeah. So this is vocal empowerment is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And your mode of healing and how you work with people is what you're describing, right? Yeah.
I think I should call it like spiritual vocal empowerment or cosmic vocal empowerment, because it has that texture to it. Mm-hmm. And as much as I feel like a complete brilliant spark of life on earth, naming things, like, what the hell? Like, it's just so challenging. So if anyone listens to this and they have like fun name ideas, I am so open to, like, because it's the first date. What's the cover on the book? Yeah, we'll get there. Or maybe we won't. I'll just have to continue to explain the depth of what this actually is.
I think you're using your voice. It's the power of voice, and that's where you can start. It doesn't mean it has to define it, you know. So it sounds like, though, that you summed up in a very beautiful way, giving an idea is the healing modality that you're using to work with people. And that's the essential part. It doesn't have to have a label, you know.
Yeah.
I think the description definitely means a lot. And, so, let's see. And I think, is there anything else you would like to share? I know you mentioned ceremonial body work or longer, bigger sessions and more elements to them.
Yeah, that's also something that's an adaptive genius thing. I think so much of a lot of people's brilliant ideas come from like a forced pivot in their career or in their relationship or something, like, oh, this isn't working, we need to change it. And so that will be like the other focus, is taking the physical bodywork massage therapy sessions into a larger ceremonial context. Because why not? Like, yes, ceremony and ritual, I think, is the way that we're going to heal so much of the funk in our world. And just bring in reverence and loving presence. Like, yes, more of that.
An intention.
Yeah, and holding a prayer and working with more than just the physical body. I mean, the physical body is like the dense 3D. It doesn't get denser, as far as I know. But there's so much though about the universe that I don't know. So there's that. Mm-hmm. But to work with the emotional body and the spiritual body and the astral body and the physical body all in a container. I mean, if the goal is, I really want to help people, I love touching human body, and I received a bodywork session from you today, and it's so, so helpful. Mm-hmm. And that's just such a limited aperture for the many different realities of energy that we are, and that the ways that we can move energy. And so it's really just a prayer and a practice of bringing in compassionate inquiry, like some of the Gabor Mate work, coaching on the front end, and then some breath work to really feel and start helping people be in their own bodies and in their own breath and in their own awareness in a different way. Diving into the physical experience, and then I'm more aware of what's actually going on because we've had this intimacy on the front end, and then ending these sessions with sound healing, mantra, and then bringing in that sound piece, guided meditation, whatever wants to come through, but then ending with like literally a frequency shift. Mantra is, the goal of mantra is to change your frequency and have this thing that you can attune yourself to. Guided meditation is also a way to use voice and sound to go into the psychic states of a person. And then singing bowls, rattle, drum, all these actual instruments that can almost like lock in on a physical and energetic level the shifts that did happen during that ceremony space or during that bodywork session or whatever it is to like wrap it all up in this beautiful harmonic resonant energy that then a person can carry with them, hopefully for however long they want, I guess, whatever their ability and capacity is. But, and that just sounds so much more fun for me to be like, you know, half the time, how often do I actually want to like sing to my clients when they're on the table? But then there's all this chill ass massage music playing, and I'm like, ooh, this is going to be a little loud if I do that. So it's a way to honor my wholeness as a practitioner, as a facilitator, as a lover, as a healer, and honor the wholeness of a client as someone that has a multidimensional pain holding pattern or a multi-emotional, it's so complex, and that doesn't have to be a negative thing, but it takes a holistic, creative, multifaceted container to feel like someone was acknowledged on all the levels of their being versus like my shoulder feels better. And the thing that made my shoulder flare up in the first place is still being unaddressed, potentially. Not that like I'm bad-mouthing my massage work, but I give some banging, beautiful, deep, therapeutic massages. And I'm part of my goal as a healer is to be humble. You know, and I know that the human experience needs more. And, you know, it's like you look at your diet and exercise routines. Everything is better with diversity. Including our genetic structure.
Yes. Yeah. So it sounds like you have lots of tools to offer besides bodywork. And the human experience needs a variety of tools to heal. Yeah. Human nervous system needs that. And that is what you're offering. And it sounds beautiful. It sounds like you've thought it out, actually, and what each individual aspect of that does. Like, even with the sound towards the end.
Well, there's still so much to learn. I mean, even... Yeah. Thinking of like the polyvagal thing that I haven't super dove into, to be honest.
That stuff is so cool.
But there's certain like tones that the body can sound to release different energies. I mean, there's so much more that I want to dive into around like the science of sound and healing. And I think I'm more currently devoted to like the emotional and the psycho-spiritual aspect of sound and healing. But I know that like the science is coming in, and whether that, you know, I have dear healer friends that are into like the tuning forks, and I have lots of crystal bowls. I mean, don't give me an excuse to buy more because I'll do it. But yeah, there's so much. God, there's just so much, and I love the opportunity to have my own physical pain lead me to offer something that's a larger reverence for what the human experience actually is. And so as much as I think I was hemming and hawing about like, oh, my body hurts, so I need to take time doing massage. It's like, well, and this is opening a giant portal for more creativity and more honoring of self and other. And I'm just excited to see how it continues to unfold because it's never like a solid thing. Like you start here and then it unfolds into this thing and then it unfolds into this. And maybe not for everybody, but I definitely like that way because it feels like the Tao, you know, like the river is never the same river.
I completely relate to that because in my own practice, I definitely gravitate to many things like that. And I think that every practitioner is different in how they do this. And it sounds like that's been your process. Yeah. And it's a beautiful process. In the process of getting from doing just body work, I used to be a body worker too. And people would come back with the same things. So I think empowering them to do it themselves is nice. Yeah. And you can always refer out for like full body work sessions too, to other people who are body workers, totally. If that's what they're asking for. And yeah. It's all about what you discuss with the client and, you know. So sounds like you have a beautiful, beautiful options for people. And thank you for sharing your story. And how can people get in touch with you?
Find me on the astral plane, y'all. No, just kidding. Thanks again for this interview. It's so fun. Who doesn't love being asked questions, especially when there's something exciting happening in your life? And I appreciate you and your wisdom. And I'm excited to see how this podcast continues to ripple out into the community. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, darling. People can find me at thesacredwholeness.com on all of the social medias. The Sacred Wholeness is my jam. I'm going to be recording a new album hopefully this month, now that I'm allowing my devotions to take the front seat, along with my inner child, I guess. So my stage name, my music can all be found under Jenny Jahlee, J-A-H-L-E-E. And all of my healing offerings are under the Sacred Wholeness. And one day they might be the same thing. The one, being in the one frequency of the all. That's a good place to leave, I think.
Okay. Thanks, Jenny. And thanks, have a wonderful day.
You too.